23rd of September, the day before the long weekend begins. And as promised, we're bringing you a conversation. I said it was going to be with Gerard de Billo. It's in fact, we've got a bonus. We have Nel Suraj, both from the new political party on the block, Action SA. We've had Herman Mashaba in the studio on three occasions, talking about his intention to change things in this country. And now we're going to be talking to candidates that are standing for local election in the next couple of weeks, I think, the 1st of November.
1st of November, that's it.
That date stands firm now. Mm-hmm. That's when we're going to be going to the polls locally. And are we going to be making a difference? Well, welcome, guys. Thanks so much for joining us in the afternoon show studio. I'm going to just fire from the hip here and say Action SA has come as a surprise to, I think, many folk. Many folk who probably have been wondering about where change is going to come, if it's going to come, and when. And suddenly, out of the blue, the green machine has rolled into town. And it's rolled into a couple of towns. It's not contesting the entire country as yet, because it's a brand new entity. But strangely, one was expecting some of the major metros to be attractive to a new political entity. But why Guadalajara? So possibly, Nel, I know that you are organizing the region, and you'd be the right guy to answer the question. Why has Action SA decided to contest local elections in Guadalajara?
All right. There's various reasons. One of the key reasons is because our president, Herman Mashaba, also has a home here in Simbiti, and it's a favorable area towards him. He's also had his heart here, but knowing that this is a key ward because of the ruling party and service delivery backlogs that have been in the area, we realized that with many of our wards, we have 30 wards in this municipality, but there are wards that we could drop the ruling party below 50%. And it's a municipality that shows the potential of dropping the ruling party below 50% and probably forming a coalition with other parties to unseat the ANC and to become the next ruling party.
An interesting word, coalition, because that question has come up quite often when it comes to Action SA and Herman Mashaba, because he has been in coalitions before with sometimes some peculiar bedfellows like the EFF, for example. When you say coalition for this region, would there be such a pairing, Action SA? Would you coalesce with a party like the EFF? And if so, what would that mean for the electorate?
Dave, that's an excellent question that you're asking me, because I think it needs some clarity. Herman and the Action SA have made it clear that they would not have any kind of alliance or coalition with the ruling party anyway, whether on a local government or national. But with EFF, on a local government level, yes, because the EFF on a local government level is, it's not purporting national policy issues. And it's mainly about bread and butter issues, potholes, service delivery, and so forth. So in regard to that, there's a lot of agreement that we can come into. So we can have a coalition with EFF and other parties as well, but only on a local level. But come 2024, not on a national.
But how do you separate the coalition from the local level to the national level? Because once the coalition has been formed, that surely is the basis for the national elections.
No, because of the service delivery issues. Local government is purely that. Electricity, water, refuse removal, yes, roads, and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's not national policy issues. It's not about education or race relations.
Not yet, but ultimately it would go that way, because that's the way of politics, is it not? You start at local level and then you build to national. Mm-hmm. So if you have this alliance between Action SA and the EFF as a principle, the EFF is not really user-friendly, particularly to white people in South Africa. And I would imagine to Indian people as well, because they have come out with extraordinarily racist declarations and remarks over the past couple of years, and not stood down on any of them. So that doesn't really augur well for nation building.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, on a local level, they do have some They have some candidates in some municipalities.
Okay. No, I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand the reasons behind it, and it's all a numbers game ultimately.
For sure.
But would it not make more sense then to align with a party like more capitalist-friendly type? We're talking in a region that needs to create jobs, and jobs create stability, and we understand that as a sort of economic 101. The Democratic Alliance, for example, stands for that sort of thing, as indeed does Action SA. Would that not be a more natural grouping?
Exactly, and absolutely. So it's a coalition that we would make with any parties. For example, if I take Guadaguza municipality, we have the Inkatha Freedom Party, we have DA there as well. And then you also have, I think, EFF. I think they have two seats or three seats or whatever. So if we could bring the votes for ANC, I mean, if ANC has votes that are below 50%,
yes,
together we form the coalition. We need to join also with DA, EFF, and, you know. So EFF would be one of those, not the only one.
I hear you. I'll tell you where I'm going with this. Is if you drew votes from the ruling party to create a viable new entity, that would be marvelous. But if you drew votes away from the smaller parties that are hanging in, would that not then be counterproductive in terms of just simply weakening the official opposition and therefore strengthening the current incumbent's hand? It's a question that needs to be answered.
For sure. No, it's a good question, because the goal of Action SA is unlike opposition parties. With Action SA, our mandate is clear. We don't want to be an opposition party.
But why not?
We want,
you want to be the ruling
party. Unseat the ANC.
You want to be the ruling party. Okay, cool. Now we're getting somewhere.
It's clear.
So now, how realistic is that?
Now, it's very realistic. And in some municipalities, it would be very realistic also, even with coalitions. And that's why we're open to
and
coalitions.
And Guadaguza, you think, is one of those?
Very possible.
Let's then turn our attention to Gerard, because you've been very quiet and very patient, and I know you've been dying to get into this one, because you've chosen to stand for Ward 30. It's a new ward. Well, it's an old ward, but it's been expanded somewhat to create a new entity, which has traditionally been a DA seat. But I know from having had conversations with many folk on the subject of how well the DA is going to be. The perception is that the Democratic Alliance in Ward, whatever it used to be, now Ward 30, doesn't have the popular vote. And I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to say that the premise is that possibly due to the fact for the last 4 years there's been very little activity in the more rural parts of Ward 30. Reasons for that. Here comes an opportunity for Action SA. But it's the same proposition. It's the same problem. You've got quite a large rural contingency there in Ward 30, as I understand it. And how do you, in fact, see yourself infiltrating those areas?
Look, I think Action SA, being new, and I think it's born out of a necessity from all the people around here, whereas you rightly say that this is always pretty much been a DA area. The wards have changed slightly. I'm not sure why, for what reasons they've changed. But I think with Action SA, and I'm also pretty new to the party, and in the short time that I've been here and seen the ground that they've covered and the actual want for something new, for a change from everybody, whether it's in the cities or in the metropolitan areas or in the rural areas, I mean, the excitement and the look of the maybe hope of future for people that are in rural areas, that looking at us thinking, well, maybe we're the last hope that can help them, you know. So I think collectively with all these areas and all the wards we have here and in those rural areas, I think they feel that there is a chance for them, that maybe now that they won't be those forgotten rural areas that are not getting the service delivery to them, that we can maybe assist them in some way.
For those that don't know you, just possibly a quick overview of who you are and what you've achieved in this area in particular, I think, is appropriate.
Dave, I've been here most of my life. I started, went to school here in Stanger when I was 12. Been here 43 years. I started as a motor mechanic. I've started my own businesses. I've had my own businesses in the Bolito, Guadaguza area for the last 30 years. been working here for 43 years. The last couple of projects, 12 years ago, we started the URP, which I think you're familiar with. We've made a big difference in the roads, the security, the cleaning, greening, open spaces. Mm-hmm. We have a new initiative, which we started 12 months ago, which is the Belito Beach Collective. We specifically just look after the Belito Beach from the Zimbali Gate right through to Willard's Beach. I believe that is the number one priority right now to look after, to keep the economic growth here. We don't have, that's our biggest tourist attraction. We don't have the Table Mountains or the Kruger Parks. We have the beach, which I believe is probably the most beautiful beach in the world.
Yeah.
We have weather that's 12 months of the year that people come here to visit us. If we create and look after that, and that's a lot of my focus has been community, looking after what I think is my home and my business, and we can grow it into a great place for everybody.
You have done a tremendous amount, and you've been extraordinarily successful in business, and in terms of your social responsibility profile. You've kept a very low profile there, and generally speaking, that doesn't augur well for politics, because who the hell is that guy? And you walk past him and say, who's that guy? But they don't realize you own half the town. So let's not be modest here. And I want to ask this question. A lot of people go into politics, particularly at local level, because it's a job. So they're going to earn some money. What does it pay a local councillor? What does it pay, roughly? Ballpark.
This is a category B municipality, yeah? Locals. It's under 20 grand.
So there are those that for 20 grand would sell their grandmother just to get the job. I'm serious. And I think there are quite a number of of candidates those that are hopeful for that kind of salary. For you, that's hardly going to be an attractive proposition. So why have you entered the political fray?
It's not for me, Dave. I mean, that money, it's more the what I can do with that position. I could probably put 1,000 people into work. I could create opportunities. I mean, it puts me in a position where I have some kind of influence, although I'm on the ground. As you say, I'm more on the ground. I'm more the type of person that's working and cleaning and making sure things happen than looking for the limelight. I think where I am in the position that I'm in now, I've been very successful. I mean, the community has given a lot to me. I've got a lot to give back. I'm in a position where I could actually create a very big difference in a lot of people's lives if we collectively as Action XA can make a difference in this community.
So, Dave, I just want to say that we've had another candidate from another party come in, and that has been what he was saying, that he thinks because he is a businessman and because he has the capacity as a person, education-wise, that is going to change the ward. So do you think that is going to make an impact with our world, bearing in mind that the tourism side of it is not the only side that we need to look at, because we have potholes, we have service delivery problems, and if the ruling party is not able to fill those potholes, how do you think you are going to do it?
Well, I think if we got the funding and we have the ability, I think the biggest problem for me right now, and I mean, I've been a developer here for 30 years, is our failing infrastructure. I think our water, our electrical infrastructure, if it's not addressed immediately or in the next couple months, I think the long-term reality is that it's going to be unaffordable to actually service the water infrastructure or our aging infrastructure for the electrical, never mind the roads, the street lights. You know, those are the things that have to be addressed. And with those being working, then you're going to attract investment.
So what is the deal on the table right now? If those that are eligible to vote in Ward 30 were to look at your manifesto, what would they find attractive?
Well, I think we can make a difference. You know, I would, and one of my biggest frustrations is working with local municipalities, it's them and us. You know, it's almost like we have to go and ask for permission or for forgiveness most of the time. I would like to take that and say it should be a partnership. We should be working with local businesses. We should be on the ground working as a partnership and making sure we can grow this area, which is at the potential to grow. As we all know, we all live here, we all can see what's happening.
Is there a likelihood, realistically, of Action SA taking the Guadaguza local election, lock, stock and barrel?
Dave, the response from the electorate has been amazing. The political landscape, it seems, has changed. I think, you know, if you look back at 2019, for example, 63% or 60 CR just went to the voting stations. I mean, like, 35% of voters, eligible voters, did not vote. And most of them come from the ANC camp. And, you know, they've been looking for a viable alternative. Unfortunately, and not running any party down. But I think with certain parties, they've reached their ceiling. You know, the DA probably has reached its ceiling. EFF, maybe too hostile. This is my point of view. And the psychology of voters have changed. But so voters have looked for a viable option. And for the first time, Action SA is presenting that. Because you have Herman Mashaba, who is the leader. He comes from the DA. You have Makhosi Khoza, who has been a strong anti-corruption fighter. You know, I mean, she had led that vote of no confidence when she was in the ANC against Jacob Zuma.
Credentials on both counts.
The Action SA leader in KZN and Feki Mentor, who led and now we have the Zondo Commission against Zuma. She led that. It was because of her. She's the leader in Cape Town.
So it would appear that Action SA is attracting many tried and tested corruption busters, people that have actually tried to make a difference within the ruling party and have failed because of the fact that they've simply been outgunned, now pulling together in this new entity. And it's very encouraging to see that businessmen of your caliber, Gerard, have seen not just the possibility, but the probability of what can be done if you stand up and get counted. And it's not an easy thing to do because, as you are probably well aware, you are going to be representing all sorts of whinging old, I don't want to use the word farts because that would be rude, but I've just done it. Because that's what happens, really, realistically. You have those whinging, whining, complaining. The much more important issues on that, but then you've got on the phone these silly people that are worrying about. Can you handle that?
I think so. You know, you just got to look at what the bigger picture is. I mean, I handle it every day. I've got nearly 700 tenants, so I'm pretty used to being taken and listening to it. But I think understanding what we can actually do, and, you know, you talk about the possibility and the probability. I thought about the possibility maybe a month ago when I was exposed for the first time to Action SA and understanding what it was all about. But I'm now starting to understand that it's pretty possible. Walking around in the for the last week with an Action SA shirt and at the IC, at the registration, I cannot believe that. I can't tell you the support we've had.
I've just seen people walking past the studio, seeing the green shirts and waving. I mean, this is crazy. This is really, it's interesting. I think it's unprecedented. I'm beginning to get a sense, and I just, you know, we try to remain absolutely neutral on this platform because we have to, but I'm beginning to get a sense that there is hope. You know, the green shoots of recovery and green shirts of recovery seem to be here. And this is extraordinarily good news for all South Africans, whether you support the ruling party for whatever reason that might be or not, because ultimately no one is going to lose here. Mm-hmm. Everyone stands to gain. That's a peculiar situation. And it's an extraordinarily exciting situation. But the message, of course, is that where there's been very little attention, and I'm not talking locally because I think that Action SA particularly has done a fantastic job so far of getting your manifesto out there and your branding proposition out there. Tired of politics, that's the deal. Tired of politics, time for change. And I think, well, realistically, in this country, if you're not tired of politics, I think you probably have been away for a very long holiday because that is a reality that we all face on a daily basis, and the situation is dire. If the Action SA bid, if you like, for local government is successful, what can we see potentially changing here in the short term?
Look, I would like to see service delivery. I'd like to see, like you were saying now, the potholes, the street lights. But I think bigger than that, it's the infrastructure we need to change. It's the encouragement of investment, of national, local, international investment companies. I mean, we've got places to manufacture. We've got the airport here. We've got the climate here. I would like to attract a lot more investment into this area, which would, again, will create jobs, which I think is probably the most important thing we need. We've got a lot of people that are unemployed here. It's good for the economy. It's good for business. And, you know, all that falls into place. Security. Once people are working, you know, we've got to secure a place.
Now, it sounds good, but is it possible? Is it realistic? Is what you're saying? Because you started off with the premise that if we don't make a change now, it's probably going to be too late, go down the road another couple of months, let alone a couple of years, and things are deteriorating so rapidly that we reach a point of no return. How close are we to that? And corollary to that, how fast can you turn it around if people vote for you?
You know, Dave, it's close. We're doing it on a private, you know, with the URP and with a lot of the businesses that I deal with, we're actually doing it with our own funding. And we don't have a lot of money, so we're making the changes that we can make. Because we're going nowhere, we're here to stay, and we're investing here. This is our home, and we want to make it work. But I think if we can get into government, and we've got access to a much broader facility of money and infrastructure and whatever we can use, I think we can make an incredible difference in what I think is probably one of the most beautiful places in Africa.
It's a very exciting message. It's a very exciting proposition. What are some of your fears for 1st of November?
Well, the fears are, you know, there could be no change. That would be my biggest fear. I think if there is no change, I think we're all in for a long, hard road, and it's going to be very difficult to. I think there has to be a change to make for everybody's life from top to bottom. There has to be a change. I think this change is brought about by the people. That's why this party's here.
And for those that are listening to this and will listen to the Catch Up podcast shortly, that are saying, listen, I don't want to get involved because it's a waste of time. The dice is cast. We can make no difference here. We're a small minority, blah, 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 blah. What is your message there?
I think, you know, every vote counts. And it's like when we started with the URP, we really battled in the beginning. And Brian always had the saying, he says, you know, when you start pushing against a big oil tanker, the weights, and if you keep enough pressure on it, it keeps moving, and eventually it starts gaining some momentum. And hopefully, if there's enough of us, and we start putting enough pressure on it, hopefully we can make that change. And I think we can. I really do think we can. I think there's enough people out there that realize now there is time for change. And Herman Mashaba has come along at the right time. I think people trust him. I mean, he's got a proven track record. He's what he's done. You know, he's not like he's coming. He's not brand new to this. He's proven himself. And I think the people that he's put around him, you can see him.
He certainly seems extremely optimistic. And that's good. Obviously, you have to be when you go into these things. Nell, from your perspective, if you take the region, if you take Guadagusa, what are you going to do with all the people that are currently employed in local government that are absolutely useless?
That's the best question you could ask me, because that's first. First is to, you know, there's a lot of people to fire.
Are you going to do that?
Seriously. I was with Herman yesterday. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about getting ready for litigations. Our last meeting with Gerana said, this is what we're going to need help with, because guys, there are officials who need to be fired.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Starting,
I'll give you a list of them.
With our town planning department, going right up to executive directors. And this is, we're on the air right now. We'd rather say it as it is.
You said you're getting ready for litigation. So are you saying that's not something that you have the power to do, but you're willing to do it?
Willing to do it.
Okay.
See,
if you've got the votes, you've got the power. But obviously there are labor laws and all sorts of things. But if you're not scared to take it on.
Yeah. And we're going to follow the same trail as Herman Mashaba did when he became executive mayor of Johannesburg Metro. I mean, there were 6,000 cases that he unveiled, corruption cases. There was up to amounting to 35 billion. And it was about 800 people that got dismissed. This was in just in 3 years. That's the precedent.
And there's enough prima facie evidence to suggest that there is a huge amount of, shall we say, questionable practice that's been taking place in this region for an awfully long time under the watch of the present incumbents. Are you prepared to take that on as well?
Absolutely. Dave, any form of corruption, from grassroots levels of officials to executive directors, we have to. That's what we're saying. You know, our motto and our mantra going to the election is, let's fix South Africa. And that's what we have to take that to the municipality. There's 6 municipalities contesting in South Africa, and we've got to showcase our capacity and what we're able to do as Action SA.
Well, it's a compelling message. It's a breath of fresh air. For some, there's no doubt you'll have the skeptics that say, well, yeah, talk is cheap, money buys the Johnny Walker Blue.
Oh, we have the track record. You remember I was in council before, indeed. Between 2011 to 2016. I mean, the whole mall saga in Stanger, we took top businessmen on from Durban and things, you know.
You have proven yourself.
Single-handedly.
This is, I think, where Action SA is particularly strong. Mm. Your candidate list, those that I know, that I've been able to examine, all appear to be good people. And the message, as I say, is it's an optimistic message. It's a message of hope. It comes at a time where we have literally seen, I think, the dark side, and it came extraordinarily close, too close for comfort.
For sure.
We saw a complete lack of response from the authorities that were supposed to guard and protect. They disappeared completely, and we were left on our own.
Mm-hmm. You know, taking it from that, Herman's taken the president, class action lawsuit against president of our nation, and Becky Taylor, Minister of Police, for the slow reaction in all that happened.
Indeed, I was about to say,
it's no nonsense.
It couldn't come at a better time for Action SA. I mean, it was almost a gift from above, or as horrible as it may seem, you know, to go through that kind of regime of terror. But it has exposed the dark side, and I think that it's also created a very strong reality that now the worst can happen if you allow it to happen. All that you have to do is nothing, and it comes. So get off that position of I'm on the fence. Get off the fence, go and vote on the 1st. Doesn't really matter who you vote for, says Herman Mashaba of Action SA. He would hope that you'd vote for Action. Doesn't really matter who, as long as you don't vote for what's currently incumbent, because if you do, if you continue along that track, well, according to Gerard and I think many other people, that makes sense, that would be about the worst situation that we could possibly face. So optimistically and realistically, I want to congratulate you guys for standing up for what is right and what you believe in. I battle in a sense to remain cautiously neutral and optimistic when people are talking sense. Certainly, I cannot find a reason not to vote for Action SA when I look at the manifesto. And I think most reasonable South Africans will look at that as well and say, well, it looks great. Whether, of course, when it comes to voting on the 1st, they still cling to traditional
sentiment.
Sentiment's a good one, you know, the tradition. And staying safe, because we don't necessarily believe that change is a good thing. We fear change as a species. But what you're talking about is change that offers everyone an opportunity for a new deal. And a new deal is urgently required in this country. So I wish you huge success. Thanks for joining us on the afternoon show. This is going to go up as a podcast for all and sundry. If you believe that it should be shared, the message should be shared, then certainly go onto it and share the link. And we'll be watching closely how Action SA grows. And who knows, by the 1st of November, we could have an exciting new deal on the cards.
Let's hope so, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can do it. As you said, we nearly saw the dark side, but we all stood together on those bridges and we made a difference. And I think we can make a difference.
Mm.
And on that note, we move on. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us. Remember, folks, the 1st of November, if you haven't registered, it's a little bit late now in the day to start thinking along those lines. But encourage everyone that you can, that is registered to vote, to get out there and to do their duty, because we all, I think, stand to benefit from change in this beloved country of ours. Right now, the time is it's almost 4:45. And we're out of time, but thanks again for joining us on the 88FM platform, Radio Life and Style, coming to you from the center of Ballito. Here's ZZ Top.